give you an update on Stuart Wolf. He was put under hospice care this past week. His life expectancy is basically minutes at most, a few days. So keep Mary, his wife, in your prayers. Randy, his son, and his wife. They obviously have some further hard decisions and tests in front of them, as they will probably need to relocate, find the right new pastor teacher, and all those things associated with that. All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we are here dealing with Satan's MO, his method of operation. He doesn't discriminate in regards to who he attacks. Both believers and unbelievers get into his sight in this regards. He has designed a system, a cosmic system that is rigged, apart from Bible doctrine. One will be taken to the bank, if you will, in regards to trying to find any alternative otherwise in regards to life in and of itself. He is a genius in regards to orchestrating and pulling these rigged games off, knowing people's STAs, knowing the nature of negative volition, at its worst, him knowing it, obviously, at the degree of which he does. And he, in this way, carries people away from doctrine, sound doctrine, with all of his little clips of deception, that, no, this is better. You'll be happier if you do this. All the other things, accurtenments of the world that's designed to distract believers and get them away from doctrine. We are to maintain our NPR, grow up spiritually so that we are not unstable otherwise in our Christian life. We present a witness of confidence, commitment, stability with doctrine otherwise. So two, sub-point C, page 6 of our notes, Roman numeral 6. Satan is the master schemer of the universe. In this regards, Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Three, he is constantly on the lookout for someone to destroy. 1 Peter 5:8. He's as a roaring lion in this respect, looking for prey. No one is immune to his attacks. Even Christ's humanity was not immune to satanic attack. All right, sub-point D, his agenda towards the nations. How he operates in this respect. It's not just individuals. He has an orchestrated universal plan. One, Satan has advanced a plan for internationalism of the nations over history via the Babylonian system of a one world, one religious order. While we have just previously gone through stimulating the review of this doctrine, the Tower of Babel scenario, Genesis 11, 1 through 9, was not long after the flood, in spite of the world having 8 believers, to begin afresh a new civilization within, or at the mark, if you will, the first century. Already, negative volition had become dominant among humanity as they reproduced exponentially in this regards. And the STA ruled, and the first satanic tent in regards to utilizing men as his weapon of offense to disregard God's command to go out and repopulate the entire planet. They all chose to, under the influence of Nimrod, as we know, chose to congregate, stick together, be as one, and they settled in the plain of Shinar, a valley, present-day Iraq area, and were propagandized and led to try to throw off the yokes of the nationalism that God intended in regards to their dispersion for an international existence, building a city with a tower that was representative of their religious rebellion in regards to God's plan in that respect. And that's the first attempt at a one world, one religious order that's come about. Fallen man, God frustrated it by confusing the languages where all men at that point in time in history still spoke the same tongue. One day they awoke, or however it happened, and they couldn't understand each other apart from their own immediate families because God tweaked their brain computers, and the garble that came out was just that, being as others tried to understand what was going on. This obviously brought about an immediate halt in regards to their world plan, and men then of necessity separated and spread out over the world just as God commanded them to do. And that was not the only attempt of Satan in this respect. It simply gave us a blueprint of what history could expect from him, and it finds this real impetus, this real force, expression, manifestation in the last days, and that is through the latter period Babylonian system of a one world political, one world religious endeavor by men, backed by Satan, consolidated then through the Antichrist, making Satan the god of worship and the ruler of the world. Revelation 13, 1 through 8, there we have, in Revelation we have the two Babylons that are dressed in their independent forms. Obviously there's a parallel, there's an overlap. They are sister systems, though one has a religious overtone, the other a political or economic overtone. They are in harmony, if you will, in regards to bringing about this unified world, universally, religiously, politically. And 17, obviously deals with the religious aspect. 18 deals with the economic aspect. Revelation 13, first though, 1 through 8. Presents the Antichrist and the true power and force that we see behind the agendas of negative volition in history to finally be consolidated ultimately as he attempted to do at the beginning of the post-Diluvian era. And here's a picture of Antichrist in chapter 13, truly what he stands for, who he is, what he represents. And he here is actually Satan, as we've been through this. Stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. Sand of the seashore is used another time in regard to Revelation, and that is a reflection to unbelievers at the end of the millennial period. how many there will be. The sea looks at the sea of humanity. So he arises out of the sea of humanity, having 10 horns and 7 heads. Horns represent power, heads obviously information. And on his horns were 10 diadems, looking at the glory attached to his person in exaltation. And on his head were blasphemous names. What he's all about is anti-God. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. The dragon is being Satan, the person in view that comes up out of the sea is none other than the Antichrist. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. Part of the deception used in regards to his claim as Messiah is the ability to overcome death. And he will prove it. Some form or fashion. He'll prove that he has power over death, that he is indeed Alexander resuscitated. By obviously allowing himself otherwise to experience death before the world and restoring life. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. What better temptation to draw people in than to feed a person's desire to live forever? To conquer death. And while he becomes the object, physical object, of worship spiritually, the real object of what they are worshiping is Satan himself. And they worship the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worship the beast saying, "What is like? Who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him?" Obviously, being possessed by Satan, his intellect, his powers, which were phenomenal, apart from this, in his previous life as Alexander the Great. There's probably no more renowned military conqueror in history talked about than Alexander. See. And he is fine-tuned and in accord with Satan in trying to fulfill Satan's role of opposing God. And there was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies. And authority to act for 42 months was given to him. Half of the 7.5 for 7 years. And that denotes the time of which he's actually possessed. He's on the scene for the entire 7 years. But his real reflection of power, etc., is in the final half. And he opened his mouth and blasphemies against God, to blaspheme in his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. You talk about anti-Christian. You will not find another regime, another push on this world to try to stamp out Christianity. True believers, in regards to God's plan. So obviously, that we're entering into this era, we're probably going to feel a little of that heat because everything's getting prepared in that direction. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. As powerful as he is, as hard as he tries, as many as he has in legion with him, God still provides for polyvolition during this era. Worst case scenario, they believe, get taken out under martyrdom quickly. candidates for the prize, you know, all the things associated with it. Don't have to endure the entire 7 years. Some will, though. And all who dwell on the earth, verse 8, will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. That's just a spectacular vision. That if you're an unbeliever, you will fall for this. There were not unbelievers are not going to go off with and start adopting their and try to recreate their own other religious agendas. They will fall for the world en masse will fall for this guy. See. And the whole scheme, etc. So, again, that looks at his person as he will then consolidate the aspects of religious and political Babylon together. The great whore in her slutty two parts in chapter 17 and 18 of Revelation. That's Revelation 17:9 through 13, which we've looked at earlier. Also, this is prophesied in the book of Psalms, a little known prophecy in regards to this international movement that sets the stage for the satanic agenda. Psalm 2, 1 and 2. Why are the nations in an uproar? Everybody's trying to get their voices heard. And the people devising a vain thing. What's the vanity? A one world government. Headed under the organization known as the UN. Supported by political and religious Babylon in principle and in practice. Prophetic Babylon being our country. Religious Babylon being the Roman Catholic Church. In both of these institutions, organizations, you will find the underlying influence in regards to the agenda, and that is the existence of the Messianic or the Masonic organization. Known as Ecclesiastical Masons. Our country was founded by people that were members of this organization. One of the things that they, and you can see really just how deceitful all this is when you look at it with doctrine. One of their principles is every man has the right to believe and engage in any religion that they want. Masons not only hold a Bible out there, but they'll have the Quran. They'll have other religious books and articles in regards to their whole ordeal. And this is to create a unified, the whole thing is to try to create a unified religious system. See? Now, I'm not saying these people are unbelievers. They held to the biblical principles. Obviously, they fed off of the people which they had to control and to determine, obviously under satanic orchestration, not in regards to their desires necessarily. And that was people coming out of an oppressive religious background from England and Europe. See. But that's the true matter. That is the synagogue of Satan that's behind all this. Masons are greatly part of Roman Catholicism. The Jesuits are instrumental in regards to the Masonic order, in regards to their creation. They appeal to them. People are truly blind. Our first Jesuit, Roman Catholic Church, first Jesuit Pope ever in history. Ratzinger, the guy before him, he resigned. Where did this come from? Popes don't resign. They die. See. And a whole new trend is occurring in regards to the counterfeit church. And all this is to bring about the one world, a one world order. How few people know that their Roman Catholics, their present Pope has already approached the Middle East and Israel in trying to create a new religion called Chrislam. Chrislam, see. Islam and Christianity combined together. He has proposed this idea. See, he's parallel. He's in cahoots with political Babylon. See, all these things. Anyway, this is the vain thing. And how did this come about? Who represents it, who truly sponsors it, is the religious political entities that we see in Scripture. And the world falls prey to this. As verse 2, the kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. God designed humanity to exist under a national entity. He created nations. This to provide, as He knows, in a world that obviously whose God is Satan, maximum opportunity for population to seek and find God. The worst case scenario is having the world under one evil ruler. At least we get to pick our evil. Their attack is satanically sponsored. Their agenda is satanically inspired. And it is a spiritual warfare in spite of the physical repercussions that they bring upon the world otherwise. Verse 3, let us tear their fetters apart. This is their cry. And cast away their cords from us. Fetters and cords looks at divine restraints, biblical, moral, and ethical guidelines. See. So, Satan is in full swing. He's in full bore to try to bring this together. And he will. And he will be successful to a great extent. But ultimately, it will fail. So you've got to be wise. We live in a world, but we're not of it. Two, this scheme is to institute a counterfeit millennium. Peace and safety is what they cry. That's the agenda. That's what these people propose. That are behind these things. That's they're saying that's what we want as they create war and other maladies of humanity, etc. And that is to bring about utopia. But it's really nothing more than to exalt Satan to be the world's God and over worship of him. All the other satanic types that people have seen, like Anton LaVey, Crowley, who's part of the Masons, etc. There's Satanists out there. That's nothing. That's nothing compared to what the world's going to be doing. It's like all of a sudden that becomes the world's religion. Obviously, it will have its own persona attached to it. It will have, obviously, a lot to do in regards to environment, social welfare, control. You don't have to protect yourself, we'll protect you. Yeah, right. All these things. Everything is moving that way quickly. Tattoos that have a radio frequency involvement with it to fulfill the need to tattoo unbelievers during the period. It's already here. People fall for this stuff right and left already. Clubs in Europe they're becoming renowned in regards to people having chips so they can go in and be cool, you know, swipe their hand or whatever and utilize these things. Get rid of cashless society, the fiat system, you know, that removing the gold standard, all these things. All these things are geared for this. So, and we are a voice in the wilderness. We try to warn, but how many people want to listen to it? They don't. Keep their head in the sand. Although sometimes they'll act like they want to. Yeah, come out here and be our pastor. Give up your job, move your family, and we'll abandon you and let you die. That's the cruel world that we live in, see. Three, his strategy is to weaken them, leading to their destruction. Isaiah 14:12. Have you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, none other than Lucifer, son of the dawn? You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. National, economic, military weakness is a direct result of satanic influence and interference in regards to nations. Phenomenal. Then Revelation 19:19-21. I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat upon their horse and against his army. And the beast besieged, and with him the false prophet performed the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive in the lake of fire which burns with brimstone. The rest were killed with the sword which came from the mouth of him, sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. That's their ultimate end. See, all the nations that take on God in this vein. He promotes anti-Semitism, such as Egypt and the Jews. He is behind this. Obviously, the Jews out of the land have not always been the best neighbors. Some are extremely evil in unbelief. We had examples of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious types of Jesus' time. But while we recognize the propensity for evil, we still recognize that in spite of all this, Jews are God's chosen people. It's this race that he created from Abraham that the Messiah came forth from, this genetics, and possess the real estate of which Christ will rule from and over the world in and of himself. And obviously, on one hand, you see it out there in the world that people don't have the right balance in regards to doctrine, blindly support Israel in things. Understand, they're still in unbelief. understand they have a brand new building that they have built over there by the Masons to represent their government. They are going to sponsor the Antichrist. Yeah, come and live in our temple. We'll put your image up here, man. So you got to understand, you had the remnant who are positive. But at the same time, Israel on the course that they're presently in today is nothing more than support in regards to Antichrist. Only through the remnant of positive volition that will come forth from it is why Israel finds salvation experientially at this time in history. And God's promise is covenant in that regards. Exodus 1, 8 through 22. So, again, doctrine gives us the balanced perspective in regards to how we perceive things, then how we respond in regards to things. I don't think that's right. Could be chapter 2, but I'm going to double check that. Many other examples of anti-Semites. If you hate dentists and you're anti-dentite, oh well. If you don't watch Seinfeld, that's the way it goes. Five, he advances socialism. The idea of redistribution of wealth. What one earns on their own, they don't deserve to keep it all. You've got to give it out and help give it to other people. See, socialism. This whole welfare program that for us in our country, first of all, here comes taxes. Personal property taxes. Our country did fine economically before. Now all of a sudden we got to have it. Then Social Security. They'll give everybody a Social Security number. By the way, it's still illegal to give anybody else a Social Security number. It's only used for the government. Well, look at it now. There ain't a Tom, Dick, and Harry doesn't have your Social Security number, probably. My parents' generation came out of that. My dad was adamant about it. He goes someplace to get credit. He had Sterling credit. You know, well, I need your Social Security number. Well, then you're not going to get my business. But he was buying it for me. So, oh, here, you can have my Social Security number. So, okay, I don't care. You know, I already knew. People have it. But still, the principle, I respected that. Yeah. Now, more and more. What really gets me is that in spite of the fact that we can create money whenever we want it through the fiat system, and we do for the agendas of the politicians and other devious types, but yet our country doesn't have enough money to feed people that are homeless and really are in need. And where do they look? They want you to give them more money. See? That's why, you know, this human good BS is spread around the world and churches are all walked into. We stay away from that. We'll apply doctrine and helps as doctrine tells us to. We're not a welfare office. You know how many people I've had to tell that on the phone. Why are you calling us? We're not a welfare office. Well, you're a church. Well, have you gone to your own church and asked for assistance? Well, I haven't gone to church. Well, there's your problem. I mean, I'm not usually rude sometimes. Because whether I'm in fellowship or out of fellowship, probably. But all this, this is not the way it's supposed to be. Ecclesiastes 6:1-2. person owns a business, it's his business. You don't like work, you don't like their conditions, where they work, go somewhere else. You know? That's why I was always brought up. And if we don't like the way you look, we'll find somebody else. It's called employee at will law. And some states have it, some don't. Ecclesiastes 6, 1 and 2. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and is prevalent among men. So you can count this as a generalized STA trend of humanity. A man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor, so that his soul lacks nothing of all that he desires. But God has not empowered him to eat from them. For that foreigner enjoys them, because he is stripped of that wealth and given to others that have nothing to do with making the money, if you will. This is vanity and a severe affliction. So, you don't have to beat the drum around here much for these principles, but it's amazing how many people still support it. Otherwise, unions, things of this nature, that's all evil. Oh, they were hiring young kids, you know. Well, don't hire them. Say you can't hire them. You don't have to make a union over it. Anyway. Whatever. Nothing new under the sun. Six, encourages military aggression in regards to being predator nations. Not in defense of one as a nation. Daniel 7, 17 through 25, in regards to conflicts that occurred in the world and during the time of Daniel, Babylonian, Persian era of world empire. Daniel 7, 17 through 25, we have here the prophecy in regards to latter days, which follows the agenda, this agenda. These great beasts, verse 4, which are four in number, are four kings who will arise from the earth. But the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom, possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come. And I desire to know the exact meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the other beasts. And that looks at the Antichrist previous, you have to take my word for it, previous verses. Go back and look yourself. Which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with his teeth of iron and his claws of bronze, which devoured, crushed, and trampled down the remainder with his feet. He will gain power, obviously, through deception of political speech, but through raw aggression. And the meaning of the ten horns which were on his head, and the other horn which came up before them, which three of them fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth that are in great boasts, and which has larger in appearance than his associates. This all refers to the European Union that's in existence today, sort of the demise of their associates. 21, I kept looking at that horn, was waging war with the saints and overpowering them. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one. The time arrived and the saints took possession of the kingdom. Second Advent. Everything's overturned, overruled. God, Christ crushes them. And they start on the world only with believers once again. Thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth. Verse 23. Which will be different from all the other kingdoms. It will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. As for the ten horns out of this kingdom, ten kings will arise, another will rise after them. He will be different from the previous ones and will subdue three kings. Also Daniel 11, 36 through 45. Again, the prophetic subject at hand is the Antichrist. Here, dual prophecy previously brought out, verse 36 here. Then the king will do as he pleases, and he will exalt and magnify himself above everything, every god, and will speak monstrous things against the God of gods. And he will prosper until the indignation is finished, for that which is decreed will be done. And he will show no regard for the gods of his fathers, for the desire of women, Antichrist, homosexual. Now you know why it's more and more becoming more prevalent. Like the gay lobby in the Roman Catholic Church. These people wield power. Suspicious deaths by people that have gone against them. You know, things of this nature. But anyway, it's not, the homosexuality is not the worst. Most of them are pedophiles. But anyway, we live in Babylon. These are the last days. You know, the Antichrist is homosexual. He will not ascribe to any other religion. He'll have his own. He'll have his own brand. See. For desire women, verse 37, nor will he show a regard for any other god, for he will magnify himself above them all. That's why he won't contend with Roman Catholic Church universally during his tenure and has them destroyed. Verse 38, but instead he will honor a god of fortresses, a god whom his fathers did not know. He will honor him with gold, silver, costly stones, and treasures. And will take action against the strongest fortresses with the help of a foreign god, satanic possession. He will give great honor to those who acknowledge him. He will cause him to rule over the many and will parcel out land for a price. He'll claim the real estate. Real estate always has great value. If you're not part of the system, you're not. You can forget owning anything. See. And at the end of the time, the king of the south, verse 40, will collide with him. Certain Arab coalitions. The king of the north will storm against him. Russian Confederacy, with chariots, with horsemen, with many ships, and he will enter countries, overflow them, and pass through. All these will fail in their attempts. He will also enter the beautiful land, that's Israel. Many countries will fall, but these will be rescued out of his hand. Edom, Moab, and the foremost of the sons of Ammon. Then he will stretch out his hand against other countries, and the land of Egypt will not escape. So they'll fall prey. But he will gain control over the hidden treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. And Libyans and Ethiopians will follow at his heels. The rumors from the east and from the north will disturb him. He will go forth with great wrath to destroy and annihilate many. And he will pitch the tents of his royal pavilion between the seas and the beautiful holy mountain. Yet he will come to his end and no one will help him. His ultimate destiny. So Revelation 13, 1 through 4, then also 27 through 9, 7, for our final point for this morning. He manipulates them through the Babylonian apostate religious system of the great whore. The Catholic Roman, the Vatican, put it that way, has influence in every country, every nation, basically on this planet. Political influence. Get politicians to make very important decisions. Part of history shows in our present time that the Vatican was highly responsible in regards to Russia and the U.S. Calling off their aggression towards one another during the Cold War to a certain degree. And having, if you will, a peace accord otherwise. So they obviously are constantly and always involved in part of this whole scheme of Satan in this respect. That's Revelation 17, 1 through 5 and verse 18. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us to these things in Jesus' name. Amen.